for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, May the 29th, 2000. Final service of the Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the speaker of the morning.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's a good place. You want to? I'll let him introduce me. No. Everybody knows me. I was just thinking he was talking about the Spirit of the Lord here this morning. This music was Jim's kind of music. He loved the worship and the slow songs. He liked them. You know, the fast ones are fine, but it's the real worship. And I tell you, it's good to have been here. I'm about ready to go home, but I'm not going till tomorrow. And I was praying. I didn't come last night. I was just really tired last night. And I got ready to come, got dressed, and went to put my shoes on, and I couldn't get them on. So I thought I better not come barefooted, so I stayed home and rested. Praise the Lord. It was really hard to get up and preach this morning with all the way the Spirit's moving. I just want to sit and enjoy the Spirit. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I was asking the Lord last night. I had thought, I had told the ladies I was going to teach on healing upstairs. I'm not teaching on healing. I'm going to share just what the Lord gave me last night and this morning. And I titled it, The Covenant of Blood. And I was just seeking the Lord. You know, Jim and I went through a time while he was so sick of just really seeking the Lord, you know, trying to get some answers. And we were searching out, you know, so many things that we do that opens the door for the enemy to come in. And so we had prayed, and everything that the Lord had brought to his mind or mine, we prayed over and rebuked, and you know, and sins of past sins, and I mean a long time ago, you know, as children and all of this, and just sought the Lord in every direction, and stand on the word for the healing, and only the Lord knows. And so the thing is, though, I got a couple of scriptures this morning that as we go through this, as I share this with you, that I really think has a lot to do with how we open the door for the sicknesses to come in. Brother Glenn's been teaching on and sharing, and that's been really good. And I did a study over there in Exodus 20, where 15:23, I think it's what it is, where God says, I am the God that healeth thee. But he says that after we obey his word. So I came over here and heard Brother Glenn share on that. So I went home and got to digging in the Ten Commandments. You should take the Ten Commandments and go through them and look and see how much we obey God and how much we don't. You say, well, I'm not under the law. But you remember Jesus said he didn't come to destroy the law but to fulfill it. And so there's just a lot of things we do that opens the door, and we need to go back and look at it and repent of it, confess our sins. For John, and I'm going to read one scripture there this morning. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is true. And Lord, it's true whether we believe it or not. You said it, and that settles it, whether we believe it or not. But, Lord, we want to believe every part of your word because we know that your word is true. And so, Father, we just thank you for the word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, we just come this morning to just look again at what Jesus Christ has done for us. And we praise you and give you glory this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. And in the Epistle of John, in the second verse, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So God wants us to be in health. You know, I hear a lot of prosperity messages taught, but God is wanting us to prosper spiritually and physically. He doesn't mind us having wealth if that's what your heart's desire is. I always said the Lord, I had a man prophesy one time to me, and he said, you know, said the Lord's going to give you your weight in gold. And I thought, I said to him, and he was a friend of ours, and I said to him, Mac, what in the world would I do with that? I said, you see, what I want from God is to know Him and the things He has given unto me. And I just want to know that I know that I know. And I want to know the Word. I want the revelation of the Word. He said, oh, you're too spiritual. And I said, well, I don't call that spiritual. I call that hungry. So, but anyways, God, I just know that God's Word says that He wants us to be in health and prosper, even as our soul prospers. Know in Hebrews in chapter 9, verse 22, in Hebrews it says, all things, almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. Lord showed me one time, I'm going to Exodus, if you'll go to Exodus chapter 12 with me. He showed me one time I was praying, and I was in need of a healing. And I don't even remember what it was I needed healing from. But as I was praying and seeking the Lord, He showed me the cross. He showed me Christ, Jesus upon the cross, and the blood flowing down from the wounds in His body. And all of a sudden, I saw myself at the foot of that cross. And as He prayed, as He bled, that blood went over me, and it brought healing. And so ever since He showed me that, I know that our healing is in that shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our problem most of the time is we're kind of double-minded, you know? We believe, but we believe the symptoms sometimes more than what we believe what the Word says. And so we get into doubt and unbelief. I was studying again last night. I was preparing for tomorrow night in my church, and I was the scripture the Lord gave me was over in James, said a double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord. So God's telling us we're going to have to have singleness of mind and take the Word and not walk by how we feel. You see what I'm saying? God's Word says, by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. And I probably will use that scripture if I have time, but if not, we all know it. But the thing is, His Word says it. It's already settled. I shared with my church on this. I did one on just the blood at the church not too long ago. And I said, do you realize that God, that Jesus Christ took care of our healing before He took care of our salvation? By the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. We are healed. Well, the stripes were put upon His back before He died upon the cross. And so we need to stop and say, Lord, we believe for salvation. We believe for the Holy Ghost. We have to receive it, right? So we have to believe that those stripes that was put upon Jesus' back and that blood that went down from His back was shed for our healing. Every part of it. And if you look at this, the wounds in the body of Jesus, it takes care of the whole man. I mean the hands, the feet, the side, the head, and the back. Every part of us. Exodus chapter 12, verse 5. He said, this is where God was talking to Moses, and He said, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. I think one of the brothers this past week, someone said it, and I don't remember who, said, you know, everything we get from, we have to receive it and apply it. If no one had taken that blood out of the basin and put it up on the doorpost, then Israel children of Israel have been destroyed. And when you look at that, what God is saying to you and I, we have got to stand and we've got to appropriate what He did for us. We've got to receive it and confess it with our mouth. You know, when we go to confessing things, sometimes people look at you and say, you're back in the faith thing. You better have some faith, and you better use it, and it will work by your tongue with what you say. The power of life, death and life is in the tongue, and you're either speaking death on yourself or you're speaking life. Let me tell you something. My husband was fighting, he wasn't fighting, and he was a borderline diabetic, and he took a little tiny pill once a day. And as soon as he was diagnosed as that, I began to hear, not only out of his mouth, but some others, it's mine. My this and my that. And once you say it, you've gotten in agreement with what's been said about you, and you have it. And I when all this was going on, I don't have a right to speak of someone else with it, but I keep hearing them say, it's mine, my this and my that. I heard Norman Parrish stand up here in the pulpit one time when, I don't remember if it was during pastor's conference or just when he was teaching. Either he was teaching, regardless. He came here and he had the symptoms of diabetes. Every symptom of diabetes was in his body. And he said he had been fighting it, I think, for about 3 or 4 days. And someone had said to him, you've got diabetes. He says, no, I haven't. He said, I am standing on the Word of God, and I will not be a diabetic. And do you know the Lord healed him before he left this campground? And he kept confessing that the Word was that thing didn't belong to him, and he wasn't going to accept it. Now, that's not speaking things that are... it's speaking things that be not as though they were. That's what faith is, isn't it? We are to speak those things that be not as though they were. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And every one of us want to please Him. You say, well, don't come against me. I'm not coming against you. I want to help you. I want to help me. See, the more I preach this, the more I get out of it. You may not get anything out of it, but I get a lot out of it. And I praise the Lord for it. So we have to apply that, what He did upon the cross. And had not the Israelites put that blood on the door, the doorpost. You know, I was looking at that this morning. I was sitting at the table reading, and I said, Lord, I know You did. Had them put the blood on the each side and across the top. And I said, Lord, that's like, when I look at it like this, I'm covered with it. You see? And when you walk, when they walked, and the Lord showed me when I, as I was studying this, they had to go through that blood before they left Egypt. They were covered by it, protected by it in the beginning when the death angel came through, but when God called them out to send them on their journey, they came through it. And so they were covered with it as they went on their journey. You know, the Word says that their strength, their clothes didn't wear out, and their shoes didn't wear out, and there was none feeble among the crowd. And that was the blood of an animal. So if the blood of an animal on the Israelites could do that, think how much more the blood of Jesus Christ can do for you and I. And we appropriate it and we apply it by this. You know what I do when I get under attack? I take my Bible, and sometimes I don't pick it up. Sometimes I just use what's in my spirit. And I walk the floor and said, this is what the Word says, Lord. And you said you're not a, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. And I said, Lord, this is Your Word. And You said I was healed 2,000 years ago. And You said that deliverance is the children's bread, and healing and health and wholeness is in salvation. And so, Father, I'm claiming the Word. And if I'm not healed, then You lied. You say that to God. Yeah, I do. I said, but God, I know You don't lie. I know Your Word is true. And you know, people, the biggest thing that's wrong with God's people today is sickness. And we need healing. Every one of us need to get healed. And so as we appropriate this blood, as we see this over in Exodus, where He said to put it on the doorpost, what did He say about it? Look up there at verse 11. Now get this in front of me, just talking to it. It blocks my view of the Word. And thus saith verse 11, he said, "And thus shall you eat it, and your loins girded about." By the way, if you read this, he said let me finish reading this verse. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not come upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generation. And you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day to the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And if you go over into the New Testament, when it talks about leaven, it talks about sin. And God says, you know, we need to go before the Lord. If you need something from the Lord, you need to go on a fast. You need to cleanse your house. Drive out everything out of your house that is not of God. You don't need to go out into the world and partake of everything in the world. You don't need to partake of everything on the TV. You need to get your heart clean, this house cleansed, and then go before the Lord to receive. You said, well, I don't have to wait 7 days. If you got some sin in your life, you do. You need to go get the sin out. You know, we don't call sin sin anymore. We just call, we just missed the mark. We sure did. We sure do. And most of the time we miss it with this. If we could get this tongue of ours trained to speak the word, and you know, if someone comes around you speaking words sometime and you get offended by it, let me tell you something. You know why you're offended? You're not doing it. You're not speaking the word like you should. And I've had people say, you're just religious. You're always speaking. I said, well, if I listened to you and got in agreement with you, I'd get everything under the sun. And I'm not getting in agreement with you. God wants us to honor His word, but He wants us to hide it in our heart. And you know, what's in your heart in abundance comes out your mouth. He said in verse 16, he said, or verse 17, and ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generation by an ordinance forever. So he said, told the Israelites, he said, you're going to observe this forever. Well, we observe it. How do we observe it? By taking the Lord's Supper. Let's go over to John chapter 1. You know, I'm not putting down people with sickness because I know what we went through with my husband. I want some answers. I'm still seeking answers. I want to know how we miss God. Somewhere we miss God. In John, in the first chapter of John, in verse 29, John was baptizing and says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Lamb without spot or blemish. Over in 1 Peter in chapter 2 and verse, let me see what verse I want. It's 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 18. I thought it was 2 Peter. Verse 18. He said, oh yeah. In verse 18 of 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, and sometimes I think we're still walking in a lot of those traditions in the area of healing. He said, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ had no sin. And he was the Lamb of God that was slain. And, you know, you read over in Hebrews, if you study on this in Hebrews, and he talks about that if the blood of goats and bulls would do what they did, think how much more the blood of Jesus does for you and I. It's His blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we accept it. We believe it. Now, we confess that we believe it for our total healing, for our healing. And we do. We say, my son-in-law was a synagogue pastor. And he used to get so mad at me. I wasn't trying to change him. I was just trying to keep what I had. You know? And I'd say, Jerry, the Lord's healed me. He has healed me from so many things. Listen, I was an accident going to happen every time I opened the door, just about before I came to really know, receive the Holy Spirit and begin to believe about healing. I was just like he was when my husband believed healing right off, just like that. God healed him. He lengthened his leg. One of Jim's legs was an inch and a half shorter than the other, and God healed it. He lengthened it. Before Jim ever received the baptism, the night they prayed for him to receive the baptism, he came out of the prayer room with his hair standing straight up, and I promise you it was standing straight up. His eyes were this big, and he was saying, "I'm having trouble walking." I said, "What's wrong with you?" And he was stumbling, and what he was doing, that foot had been so, leg had been so short, he wasn't used to it being long, you know, even. And he would stumble, and he went back to the church, and he was so obnoxious. People would dart into doors to get away from him. He would be coming down the hall and he wants to in there. He said, "I will tell you what God did for me." And they didn't want to hear it. And they would go into, we used to like, they'd go into darkened Sunday school rooms just to get away from him. So I knew what Jerry was talking about. Jim did that to me. I didn't want to hear about the healing because, see, I was on tranquilizers, hormone pills, had migraine headaches, 13 major operations, and all of this, you know, just the whole nine yards. And I'd say to Jim, "Oh, shut up, honey. They don't want to hear what you got to say." I didn't either. So I knew what my son-in-law was saying to me when he said, "But that's you. Now, I'm going to believe God that I'm going to take this aspirin and he's going to take my headache away." And I'd say, "Well, why don't you just believe God to take your headache away without the aspirin?" Well, I'm not there yet. And I'm afraid he never did get there because he never would walk in. He said, "I know what you believe is right, but I just can't walk that way." But I see, I know why people feel like you're putting them down or something when you're talking this way. It's not. It's to say, "Hey, we're missing the mark somewhere, aren't we? It's available for us, and God wants us to have it." I hear people say, "I'm healed. I'm totally healed. God's healed me." And when you get around them and get to really talking to them, they're taking all kinds of medication. Well, if I'm healed, I don't need that medication. Now, I'm not telling you, I'm trying to say, "Hey, God, we need to have some answers. Where are we missing you?" Mighty quiet in him. Praise the Lord. But he said here that, but we were redeemed and cleansed by with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. You know, it really bothers me. It has bothered me for 6 months. In fact, 5 months before, about my husband, because we sought the Lord, and I was seeking and seeking and seeking the Lord to give us answers. I don't know, but I do know this. By his stripes, I was healed 2,000 years ago. The devil told me after Jim died, said, "You won't teach healing anymore." Well, devil, hide and watch. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53, he said he was... Let's start with verse 1 in Isaiah 53. "Who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Do you see, when I was reading that this morning, I thought, Lord, that's our problem, is unbelief. I almost titled this morning, although I wanted to go with the blood. I'm not through with it yet. We're going on. Unbelieving believers. We are believers. We believe, but we are so unbelieving in some areas, and it's got to be. It's got to be us. It's not God, is it? He hasn't missed it. We're the ones that miss it. And so I was saying, Lord, help us to believe this word. Help us to see it. And, you know, how does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I always tell my people in the church, our people there, you may not believe what I say, But if you go and quote those scriptures and speak them yourself, you know, you believe what you say. And so when God says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word, if you'll continue speaking the word and let your ears hear it, you'll begin to believe it a lot quicker than you will by listening to what I say. Because you believe what you say. And so this is why when I go to fighting a battle, and I'm real careful about calling anybody to agree with me because I don't know what they're believing. And you say, well, you're just full of pride. Well, cast it out. I'm willing. But I know what the word says, and the word says, well, two agree is touching anything. So I say, Lord, this is your word. And I'm in agreement with it. Now, I want to see it manifested in me. And so I quote the word there. So I'm putting faith in me by quoting the word and walking in it. And let me tell you something, it works the same way with deliverance. It really does. In fact, you need to get a lot of it out to get healed. And sometimes we hold on to it. Anyways, he said, verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men. You ever get rejected by man? Do you feel like people reject what you say and won't reject you? Well, good. Praise the Lord. You're walking where Jesus walked. They rejected him. My son told me one time, he came to see me before he got saved, he said, oh, Mama, you're just so full of religion. Said, it just poke you and out comes religion. Said, you just beat all I've ever seen. Just full of it. And I said, son, it's not religion. It's the way of life. It's the way I live. And he came to see me with this old slop. He had his dark glasses on so I couldn't see his eyes and earrings. And he sat there and he poked everything at me. When he left, I cried. I wouldn't cry in front of him because I just told him I loved him. He came looking like that to make me condemn him, and I wouldn't do it. I just loved him. I said, I want you to know I love you. And I thought he was gone. I heard the car door slam, and then I let loose. And all of a sudden, I heard him walk back up on my back porch, and he came in. He said, Mom, I'm sorry. He said, I don't know what makes me do that to you. I said, hon, that's okay. I said, when you make fun of me, I know that they did that to Jesus. And that just encourages me that I'm on the right track. And so, anyways, he said here in verse 3, he said, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him smitten of God and afflicted. And God was the one that afflicted Jesus Christ. God did it. For you and I. And you know, I have stood on this verse, this fourth verse here, since I've lost Jim. When the grief would try to overtake me, I'd say, Lord, I just give you this grief. I give this to you. You said you took it. And the Lord had been telling me, don't look back. And sometimes I get hit by a spirit of grief, and I did yesterday, and just the time I needed to weep. And when I started crying and got rid of it, let it come out, I finally got, you know, I was okay. So God, Jesus Christ carried all of this. He carried our sickness. He carried our sorrow. He carried our grief. He carried our pain. And he went to the cross with it. And he doesn't want us to have it. And I want us to get free from it. I want to get free from it, to walk where we're not always needing ministry ourselves, but we can reach out and minister to others. The devil keeps us so busy with our eyes turned inward that we can never reach out to other people. And yet we've everyone in here. You know this word well enough to get the whole area where you live saved and delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost. Right. And then get them out, get another saved. So people, we got to get free. We've got to believe this word. We've got to know that the word works for us. We know that it's real. We know that it's true. But like I told one woman in our church, stop mental sentiment and let it get in your heart. Get it down there and say, God, I don't care what I see. We have a song in our church. I'm not moved by what I see. Hallelujah. I'm only moved by the word of God. Hallelujah. And really, that's what we need to do. We need to have that work, see it working in our lives. He said, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So when he went to the cross, he took all of everything. I don't care what's wrong with you or what's wrong with in your bloodline or your family or whatever. It's already been paid for. We are healed. We were healed, and we shall be healed. We're already healed. But what we've got, and see, when you read those three scriptures, one in Matthew 8:17, and then the one in 1 Peter 2:24, we say, well, I'm going to be healed. You're already healed. We look back to the cross. We're looking back to the cross, and that we shall be healed is when we are totally out of, this body is totally changed, and it's, we're no longer walking in sickness and sorrow and death and in the earth realm. We're on the earth. You shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're looking for it. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's go over to 1 Peter now and chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. He says, for even... well, and hereunto were you called, because Christ who suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps, neither who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. That may be one of our problems right there. What's found in our mouth? Think about it. Praise the Lord. He said, who, when he was reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We were healed 2,000 years ago. Amen? And he said, you see, that's spirit of retaliation will come up in us sometimes. You know, someone hurts us or says something to us we don't like, and then we know where we are in the Lord when we see what comes up. Amen? And the scripture tells us here that Jesus, when look what they did to him. They spit in his face. They pulled his beard out. They beat him. He had done no sin. He had done no sin. He had been tried, as Hebrews tells us, he was tried in every point as such as we are. He was tempted every way. He walked this earth in the fleshly body, and he was tempted in every temptation you and I have been taken in. The scripture tells us that there's no temptation given which he hasn't already given us the strength and the ability to come out of, because he did. Everything he did as he, in his walk, we should be walking in his footsteps. Okay, let's go over to Psalms 107. I just thought when I came, Glenn asked me to take this morning's service, I thought, Lord, everything's been said all week. Where do you go from here? Praise the Lord. Amen. And so I was asking the Lord about this. Psalms 107 and verse 17 says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. That tells us that we're afflicted because of being foolish and our sins and our transgressions. He said, their soul abhors all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. And I'm not going into that. Glenn covered that the other day. Then shall they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distress. You know, the Lord has healed us and delivered us from so many different things in so many different areas over a period of time. You know, I tell it to you like this. I had a sister that had heart trouble, high blood pressure. She was a diabetic. I really don't know what all she had. She had everything that came, everything. And she mocked me all the time because I prayed in tongues and I believed in healing. And she couldn't explain why I wasn't sick, but the thing was, she'd come to my house or call me when she got sick and ask me to pray for her. And I would pray, and God raised her up. And the last time I prayed for her, she was she was in the hospital and she had had a heart attack, and the doctors had told her she couldn't live alone any longer, that she had to have someone take care of her. And so she, crying, called me to come pray. And I went down there and prayed for her. And I gave her a prayer cloth. I had been to a camp meeting, and the Lord had I didn't know my sister was even in the hospital. And while I was at the camp meeting, the Lord instructed me. I had a silk scarf, and he said, take it up there and get it and prayed for her. And I thought, well, I don't know anybody, you know, but I just obeyed the Lord. Well, I carried it back home, and when she called me, I took it to the hospital. And I prayed for her, and then I told her, I said, take this and put it in your gown, and don't take it off. Because it was a heart problem, so I wanted her to put it on her heart. And I told her it had been anointed, and she did. She did what I said. The Lord healed her. And she went home, and she lived, I guess it's 6 or 8 years, that she stayed by herself. And the next time she called me, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you go pray for her, but he said, not this time. He said, go minister to her. And I did. I went and prayed for her, and I ministered to her. But he didn't heal her. And you know what the Lord told me? You said, well, I don't believe this. Well, I do, because she died not then, but she died later. He told me, he said, she has mocked my word. She has made fun of you. And she had never got into the word to see if it be true or not. And he said she's had time to learn the word and to get the word within her. And he said, now... He said, just leave her alone. Well, I went to her and I talked to her, and I always like to take a tape recorder and scripture to give people and let them sit under it. Did that to my husband's brother's wife, and she had cancer and was giving it to her. And you know what she did? Her husband had died a few months before, and she had him on tape, and she would listen to the scripture. She listened to him. But that was okay. I mean, I did what the Lord told me to do. But we try to get the word into people because it's the word that brings healing. It's the word that brings deliverance. It's the word that sets us free. So, and he said here, he said, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distress. And so, but there will come a time when God says that they need to grow up. I said when I was praying about my church, and I said, Lord, I'm really tired of putting bottles in these bearded faces. Really. And what I mean by that, they've been there long enough that they ought to be, the scripture says, well, they should be teaching others. But they're lazy. They want me to do it for them, and I'm tired of doing it for them. Praise the Lord. I know one lady will get this tape, and I hope she hears it. She always orders the tapes from over here. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Well, I don't, you know, I'm just speaking the truth. And it's up to God to do it, and it's between them and the Lord. But there does come a time when you just really kind of get weary of well-doing. He sent his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destruction. You know, God gave me a scripture a long time ago in Jeremiah, the first chapter of Jeremiah, and he said, he hastens his word to perform it. And then when you look in the concordance, it says, he watches over his word to perform it. That's why I'm such a stickler on when you need healing, when you need anything from the Lord, you get the scripture and you walk on it, you quote it, you sing it, you pray it, and you stand before the Lord and say, God, this is what your word said, and if you don't heal me, I'm going to die. You know what I told the Lord? I said, I made an agreement with the Lord a long time ago. My husband tried to get me one time. He said to me, you need to go to the doctor. I couldn't walk. I think he was tired of carrying me. And he only told me one time, he said, I think you need to go to the doctor. And I said, Jim, I am scared to death of doctors. I'm not going to go. I said, I talked to the Lord a long time ago about this. And I said, he don't straighten it out, you're in a lot of trouble. I said to him, he was in a lot of trouble. But, you know, the Lord healed me. He healed me through deliverance. It took about 3 days to get free from it. And then I had another attack about a year later in the same area, but I've never had any more problems with it since then. But I was still in the Word, and they did deliverance on me, and they called out witchcraft. And I guess I'm a believer that every sickness that ever hits is from witchcraft. And of course, sin opens the door that it comes in. But God healed me. But I had told the Lord after I found out that healing was in the Word, after my husband drove me wild with telling me that I didn't have to be sick. And he was right. And I got the word in me. And I said, Lord, if you don't heal me, the word says that he sent his word and healed us and delivered us from our destruction. I said, God, if you don't heal me, the only thing can happen is I'll die and come home and be with you. So what greater thing is that? And you know what the Lord has shown me so many times about people in the area of healing? They're so afraid they will die that they're afraid to trust the Lord. And if you get rid of the fear of death, well, you're going to trust the Lord. Because if we die, I'm not advocating dying. I'm just saying, what if you're ready to go, what's wrong with that? Yeah, we want to be here till Jesus comes, but we don't know if God's going to leave us here, and we hope we are. But if you're going to start fighting, I tell you the truth, that the side effects of medication is so bad that I'm fearful of medicine. I know what it did to my husband, and I know what it's like. And I kept telling him, I said, honey, everything I see advertised on TV about medicine, they're saying, but if you do, if you've got this or this and this, don't take this, because it's got this and this and this kind of side effects. I said, the side effects can kill you. And so why not trust the great physician? He said his word is medicine to our flesh. And so I said, that I have to believe that he honors his word. He hastens his word to perform it. He says, come and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. He said, put me in remembrance of my word. And I said, Lord, one time, Lord, why do you want us to do, want me to do that? He said, I want to know if you know it. I know my word. And I said, Lord, this, oh, and so he told me to do it. So I said, this is what your word says. Now, if you don't, and I said, if you don't do it, then, you know, you lied. And you, your word says you can't lie. And I said, Lord, and I always say this, Lord, if you don't heal me, there's something in me that I need to know about. Because it's my fault when I don't get healed. And so I say, Lord, show me. And he will. Sometimes we don't want to know. When he shows us, we thought, nah, that's the devil. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Truly, truly. Okay, going on. Psalms 103. You know, I used to hear this song a lot, and I don't hear people singing it anymore. Used to every meeting you go to, they sing Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, and who healeth ALL, all of thy diseases. He didn't say he healed some of our diseases. He said he healed them all. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies my mouth with good things, that so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I claim that scripture. And I put my in there where it says thy. I said, my youth is being renewed by the eagle, like the eagles, Father. And you've forgiven all of my iniquities, and you healed all of my diseases. In my iniquity, we gotta put ourselves in this word and let this word minister to us. So, well, I do that. Do you pray it that way? You know, I think we should sing that more often. We really do, because when you're singing, you get the word in your spirit. Over at John, who was it? Said Big John. John 6. I know why Tommy was talking about. He couldn't. He had finally had to change Bibles. When you're used to a Bible, it's so hard to get another one broken in. I don't like new Bibles. John 6, chapter 6, and verse 51. You know, Jesus says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. So Jesus said, if we don't eat of him, we have no partner, no life within him. And we eat his flesh, what we do? The word. The word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. Jesus was manifested in the flesh to destroy the works of the devil. So he wants us to eat of him, partake of him, and to appropriate the blood for the cleansing. Matthew 26, he said in Matthew 26 and verse 26, I believe is what I want. Yeah, verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." So he said, when he began to instigate, bring forth the Lord's Supper, he said, what did he say? "Eat my flesh and drink my blood." Oh, and let me give you a scripture over in 1 Corinthians. Run out of time, but I want to do this. He said, Paul was talking about the Lord's Supper here, and he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, he said, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And afterward, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This is the new testament. The cup of this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes.'" You know, when you go to take the Lord's Supper, and a lot of people teach this when they're preparing the going to serve the Lord's Supper, and do it when they're as the elements are passed out, that when you take that bread, you are eating for healing. The flesh of Jesus was beaten, the stripes put upon his back for our healing. So we appropriate healing when we take the bread, and then when we drink the cup, we're appropriating salvation, and we're remembering that he healed us. Remember, Lord, you heal me, and when I take this bread, I was healed 2,000 years ago by the stripes that was put upon your back. And I thank you and I praise you and give you glory for healing. And then when you drink the cup, Lord, I thank you for the shed blood that cleansed me and washed me, justified me, sanctified me, redeemed me, that I might have life everlasting. Many people, he said, in verse 26 says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of my body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." So my question is, my point is here, how many times have you ever participated in the Lord's Supper unworthily, when you may not have been living like you should? Maybe you had sin in your life. I'm just asking, still, we're wanting to know why we're not healed. And I see that we need to go back and repent. How many times did you take the cup and the bread before you really learned about it? He said, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Not only are they weak and sickly, but they die. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with this world." So he tells us, if we'll judge ourselves, go back and judge ourselves, then we're not guilty with the world. In Matthew 8 is another scripture that he said, where he said, I'm hurrying over that, but that I shouldn't hurry over that, because we really need to think about that. I see many times in churches where people I see people that won't take the Lord's Supper, and everybody's saying, well, what in the world's wrong with them? They should be saying, well, let me check and see if I'm okay, whether I need to take it or not. But I see a lot of people that will just, and even give it to their children, and I'm not sure about that. I don't mean little children. Children see it and they won't want to take. But there are our older children sometimes that we need to really talk to them before they take it. We really do. We do not need to let them drink damnation to themselves. So, well, you're responsible for them. You sure are. You're responsible to teach them. And they don't need to go into some unbelieving Sunday school class and have some unbelieving teacher teach them. Pardon me, but that's true. I can remember when, well, I won't get in that. Just leave that alone, Lord. Thank you. Over in Matthew's gospel in the 8th chapter, and going back to a little bit on healing, and I got two more scriptures and I'm going to finish, I think. He said in Matthew's gospel chapter 8 and verse 14 says, when Jesus came into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and then he touched her hand and the fever left her and she arose and ministered unto them. That's the way that we should be able to walk. He said, but that was Jesus. Well, the works that I do shall ye do, and greater works than these shall ye do, Jesus said, because I go to the Father. And rebuking a fever is not like healing somebody from cancer. We don't even want to rebuke fever sometimes. I know most of us here do, but I'm trying to bring to remembrance a lot of things we forget. Maybe I'm just the only one that needs it, but that's okay. I need it. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. So he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So he cast out spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So, we know that the Word is working. Let's go to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. I got, I think, two more scriptures. This is another area that the Lord has really been talking to me about. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Did I say 15? Yeah. Verse 22. Lord gave me a study in Nehemiah that I did just recently, and he was showing me how the, talking about the walls being down and the gates being burnt, and how the walls of salvation have been brought down and broken, the gates destroyed, because the word has been watered down to where men don't stand for anything. They have watered it down and have not spoken the truth because they're afraid it will drive people off. Man, I'll tell you something. I don't want to be guilty of not, you know. I said 15, but I believe that's 16, chapter 16, okay? Verse 22, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Touch not my anointed. We have touched many times God's anointed with our mouth. And God said, don't do it. Could that be an open door we have not repented of, that we need to go before the Lord and repent of? He said it twice, and probably more than that, but over in Psalms 105, he said it again. Verse 15 saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. I think I read that other one wrong, but you read it. But this is, he says, don't touch my anointed. Let God deal with them. That's God's business, not ours. And we need to repent of it. If we have come against God's anointed. You know, I had two more. This is the last one, but Exodus chapter 23. God said in verse 24, he said, talking about the 25 is one of them, and he said, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. He said, I am the Lord that healeth thee, over in Exodus 15, 23. Here he says, I'll take sickness away from the midst of you. But if you'll back up and look how he's going to do it, it's when we obey him and obey his word. When we get rid of our idols, when we get tear down our altars, when we pull down our high and lofty places, when we humble ourselves before the Lord and say, God, I don't know what's wrong with me and what I have missed you, but if you'll show me, I'll sure fix it. I'll do my best to fix it. I'll confess every sin. I confess every one of my sins and everybody else's sometimes. I just want more of the Lord. I want to know more about him. I don't want to have to be fighting sickness all the time, and I don't want to be fighting demons in me all the time. I want them out. I want to be an overcomer, walk as an overcomer. We used to sing the song, let's see, what was it? How'd it go? We overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. That's not it. But anyways, we end up by saying, we had overcome. I said, no, we hadn't overcome, but we will overcome. We haven't overcome yet. We're working on it. But God wants us, he wants us to be free. But let's go back. If you've got a sickness in your body this morning, if you've got a physical problem and you've been prayed for, you've received deliverance, go back and ask the Lord. Go back and say, Lord, where have I missed you? Prayer works, people, but there comes a time when somebody else's prayer for you is not going to work. You're going to have to believe for yourself. The Lord told me a long time ago, he said the gifts of healing were more for the babes to show them the power and authority of God. And he said, I expect my people to walk healed and in health. And so I'm not coming against anybody. Don't think I am. I'm just trying to, I'm helping me. And I hope that it gets you thinking too. A lot of times when I'd share on, I've done this in my own church. I had one lady in my church used to get so mad at Jim. He was one tall healer all the time in church. She'd get so mad at Jim. She says, I'm condemned. He's condemning me. He said, I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to help you. Yes, you are. You make me feel condemned, he said. She had a real hard time with him. But you see, it's not that. If we don't teach the word, if we don't share it, then a lot of things we know that we have known and believe we have let slip. Doesn't the word tell us that we let a lot of things slip? I had intended to do some more deliverance, but since we've run out of time, I won't. Are y'all all delivered today? Good, good. Praise the Lord. Amen. And we're being delivered. We are, we're being. Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for each one that's here. And Lord, if I've offended anyone, I ask them to forgive me. But Lord, it's your word. That's what you've put in the book. You wrote it. I didn't. I just read it. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. I will enter. I will enter his courts with my praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. Once more. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with my praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www. lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.